Paul, in our epistle lesson, was dealing with a controversy in Corinth. The congregation there had started to look down on him, especially in comparison with some teachers who had recently come among them. And the problem, Christians, was money, or more specifically, being paid to teach. Because these teachers who had come among them were paid. But Paul had refused to be paid. And that led the congregation to think that those teachers were somehow more important or even better than Paul was. And part of the problem here, Christians, was the time that they lived in. And a part of the problem was also the city of Corinth itself. Because on the one hand, it was very common in those days to have what might be called a wandering teacher, someone who went from place to place offering to teach something in exchange for money. And this wasn't happening only among the Christians. It was very common in Roman society. And they weren't all necessarily hucksters and charlatans, although there were those too. There were also many good teachers who made a living in this way. And many of them were held in high esteem among the Romans, especially among the wealthy. And the wealthy considered it a sign of their wealth to be able to support such teachers, especially the good ones. If you could afford to pay a teacher, that meant that you were truly well off in the world. And on the other hand, there was the city of Corinth itself. It was an extremely wealthy city, an important trading place in those days. There was business always going in and out of the city. It was the kind of place where it was very easy for someone to get rich quick, and many often did, lifting themselves up out of poverty, even lifting themselves up out of slavery to become wealthy men. And it's reasonable to assume that at least some of the congregation in Corinth had been that way too, that they had been poor, but because of living in the city, they were able to become rich, raising themselves up to become upper class in society. But like so many who rise out of poverty into wealth, they were anxious to prove themselves. They wanted to show to the world that they were now well off, that they were no longer lower class, that they didn't belong to that anymore. Now they were somebody. And supporting teachers was a sign of being part of the wealthy, part of the upper class. And so that was something that they were anxious to do, to show off to their Roman friends and neighbors that they had truly made it in the world. How odd it was then for Paul to come among them and insist that he not be paid. He had come among them, and instead of asking for money as they might have expected him to do, he insisted on supporting himself, making tents as he had done before, working with his own two hands, and seemingly depriving them of the opportunity to support him in the way that they expected. But because of that, it led them to think, well, maybe these other teachers who are accepting payment, who are allowing us to support them, maybe they're better. Maybe they're actually apostles because they're acting in a way that we expect. But Paul shows them the truth. He is in no way inferior to these other teachers. He is truly an apostle. And if they needed proof of that, he says that they need only look in the mirror. Are they not Christians? Had he not preached the gospel to them? Had not the Lord used him to lead them to faith. That in itself was proof that he was a true messenger of God. And Paul is not saying that making money in this way, being paid, is somehow immoral or wrong, as if it's wrong to be paid to preach. Far from it. He says that he has the right to be paid because that's what the Lord wants to happen. He says in verse 14, "In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." So there's nothing wrong with receiving this kind of support. Paul could have taken it had he chosen to do so. But he chose not to do so. He deprived himself of that right. And our reading for today from 1 Corinthians 9 explains why. Because on the one hand, he says that he has to proclaim the gospel. He is obligated to proclaim the gospel. He even says that he would fall under judgment if he did not proclaim the gospel. God had given him a task to carry out, and he fully expected him to do it. And so for that reason, Paul was called to proclaim the gospel to all people, to rich and poor, to high and low alike. Wherever Paul went, he was proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Honestly, that's all that he ever really did. But on the other hand, Christians, Paul was called to proclaim to all people. He was not just limited to one group. And if he had insisted on being paid as they expected in those days, and as he had every right to do, it might actually get in the way of preaching the gospel. Because wandering teachers in those days, Christians, didn't teach everybody. They were not public school teachers. They were more like private tutors. And so they limited themselves to those who could pay them. I mean, for obvious reasons. A man needs to eat, he deserves to be paid. But the effect of all of this was that they limited themselves to the rich. Does a private tutor work for free? But in that case, it might give the impression that what Paul was saying was only really meant for those who could afford him. That those who had means would be able to hear the gospel, which leads to eternal life. It might even lead people to think that God was only for the well-off in the world. And that's exactly what he wanted to avoid. He says in verse 18, "What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." He gave up his right to be paid so that no one would think that the gospel was not meant for them. And this is what he means then, beginning in verse 19. He says that he became a servant to all that he might win some. To the Jews, he became as a Jew. Not because he was putting on a show, not because he was just pretending, but he gave up his right for a time so that those who heard his words would listen to him. When it came to the Jews, that involved issues of eating meat, because meat in those days was very often associated with idolatry. And the Jews very often didn't eat meat at all because they didn't want to be polluted in that way. Now, Paul will go on to say in the very next chapter that there is nothing wrong with eating such meat at all. Idols are nothing, he says, and meat is a good gift of God. It's fully within his rights to eat meat if he so chose. But he gave it up for the sake of the Jews, so that they would not be offended, and that they would listen to him so that some might be saved. And to the Gentiles he became as a Gentile. Again, not pretending or just putting on a show, but giving up what was his right so as not to offend them either. He set aside things that could be set aside without sin so that they too would listen. As he says in verse 22, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. He denies what is his right so that no one would be prevented from hearing the good news of Jesus. And Christians, Paul in this passage is not justifying a do whatever works kind of mentality, as these verses often are abused, thinking that the ends somehow justify the means, that no matter how stupid or trite or silly something might be, as long as somebody listens to it, then it was all worth it, no matter how degrading it might actually be. Paul is not putting on a show in order to get people's attention, nor should we. Because in reality, Christians, that's far too easy a thing to do. We could put on a show here. We could do something completely over the top to bring people in by the dozens. You could drive a motorcycle through the sanctuary, give a gun away on Easter Sunday, put on a rock concert, all things churches have done to attract people. You could advertise it in the paper, advertise it online, and people would come. We would fill this church up tomorrow. That's the easy thing to do. But to deny yourself so for the sake of another person, to give up your right so that someone else is not scandalized, to humble yourself so that someone else might hear the gospel, that's the way of Christ. Because Christ did not come to exalt himself, Christians. He did not come to put on a show so that other people would pay attention to him. He humbled himself for our sake. He became a servant, even though he is the Lord of all. As he says in Matthew 20, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If then, Christians, our Lord came in humility, why should we insist on our own way? Why insist on our rights, especially when it causes someone else to stumble? It is better to give these things up for a time, so that others may hear the gospel. It is better to lower ourselves, just as Christ lowered himself for us. That is the way of love. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to humble himself for our sake, help us to walk in his way and to humble ourselves just as he is humble, so that we may serve our neighbor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.